It's time!
Happy number four at home! The Eagle rises again! 29-0.
That's it! He's got the chance!
Nate Diaz!
He's out!
He has done it! It is all over! Nate Diaz beats Conor McGregor!
What a night, ladies and gentlemen! What a night!
Rose Lava, you are trying to close the show!
She was doing a great job of faith!
You're listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pound for Pound. I'm your host, Andrew Canary, and I am here with Riley Lucas and Mahdi Dembele. I also got Caleb Stein on the sticks for this week. Thank you so much. Guys, it's a good week to be an MMA fan. We got UFC 296 just days away. And I already know Riley Lucas has got a ton to say about Devin Haney's recent win over Regis Prograis. Now, I believe he's the WBC welterweight champion. Complete domination. It was a ridiculous fight. I can't wait to talk about that. So I think we should just get right into it. Riley, I'll allow you to stage if you want to kind of, you know, flaunt your stuff, talk whatever you want to talk. I mean, this is kind of your moment right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I got to say that it was expected a Devin Haney win for me. I did say that I didn't think it would end in a knockout, but I thought if anything, it would go. The worst that could happen would be a split decision. And thankfully, it was a unanimous decision. Devin Haney clearly won that fight and he impressed me in every way possible because I really did think that Regis was going to be his biggest challenge in the ring as opposed to Lomachenko. You know, you have Lomachenko who's quick on his feet and, you know, threw all those punches. But I really thought the power of Regis was going to, you know, caused somewhat of an issue for Devin in the ring, but it really didn't. He very much so impressed me. And one of my big concerns with him was that he would be too heavy on that left-handed jab. And he still was a little bit, but at the end of the day, he switched it up. He moved around in the ring and I thought he handled himself very well. And, you know, he's the best of the best. He's 31-0 now, I believe. And yeah, Mahdi, I see you in the camera. I see you making that face. You might not see us guys, but we can see each other and just know he's the best of the best. He's just proven once again that he is the top dog. And I think he could really take on anybody in his, at least in his age range. You know, all these guys like Tank, Shakur, I think he could easily handle. And it's about time we start talking about that Devin Haney is the guy.
One stat line I do actually want to, you know, highlight in this fight to kind of go with your point, Riley, is that throughout the entire fight, Prograis threw 363 strikes to Haney's 367. But despite that, Prograis only landed 36 strikes to Devin Haney's 129 landed punches. So, I mean, just that dominance alone in terms of efficiency in strikes, I mean, it really won him this fight. And I'm glad that you did also highlight his reliance on the jab because that was also something I saw throughout the fight. Mm-hmm. But also, even with that heavy reliance on that left jab, I think it led to bigger punches throughout the fight. And we just saw that, unlike, you know, I guess Shakur Stevenson's recent performance, which was impressive, but didn't really, you know, excite the fans.
Was it?
Devin Haney was. But with this, I think the big difference between these two fights is that Devin Haney remained technical while also making an exciting fight and also genuinely hurting Prograis. So that was the biggest thing I saw.
Yeah, I don't know about that Shakur comment, though, I must say, because I believe, as I mentioned last week, what was it? He had the least amount of punches thrown in a fight? That was crazy.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
So I don't know how I feel about that. Mahdi, I know your mic's on mute, but I got to hear what you have to say here.
You know, and for Devin Haney, especially for him to do it at 140, I mean, it's very, very impressive from his usual weight at 135 pounds. I got to tell you, you know, I'm feeling a little better. Obviously, what happened with Vasily Lomachenko, obviously, I didn't like. Because, again, boxing is, it's about the impression you leave on your contemporaries. And I didn't like how he did it against a 35-year-old guy who's looking to get back. This Devin Haney that I saw in this fight against Regis Prograis was the one I wanted to see against Lomachenko. Very sharp counterpuncher who very sharp counterpuncher who's also a good combination puncher who relies heavily on the jab and who really uses his frame. What was most impressive to me about Devin Haney this fight was the footwork. You guys just outlined the volume that Progress had, but they didn't land. Haney's footwork with the shuffles and the pendulum steps, the pivots, the stutter steps, it was crazy variety. It was really, really good, and it was really a turnaround performance from a fight that he had last time. So to call him the best in the world amongst the youngsters, he's in the mix, definitely. I think his resume is probably the deepest. I am feeling better about Devin Haney, especially with that magnitude of an opponent. I got to wait for him for this fight, to tell you the truth.
What did you say, that last comment?
I've got no beef for now, Riley.
Okay, cool. I like that. I like that. I mean, my last comments before we move on, because I know we have so much UFC to talk about, is another thing, too, is in the past, we've really seen Devin Haney struggle with southpaw fighters, and here we had Regis, who was that. And I thought he handled himself very well. And, you know, going back to what you said, Mahdi, about him being in this 140 weight class now, I said last week that I had a feeling that this was going to go better for him. Now, I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. This was just one fight. He has a long way to go. But I really think that he just looked so much better sitting at 140. It was like he was healthier. He was better on his feet. He didn't seem laggy. And I think he always, you know, was in a place where he had to bring himself down to 135. And it seems like a struggle to him. And I think 140 just comes more natural for him. And I really hope he sits in this category and just takes over for a minute. I know he likes to bounce around. I'm sure he's going to be going up in weight class soon, trying to take over that division. But I really want to see him sit here and just dominate for a minute.
Yeah, especially since he looked that dominant in the showing. I mean, I think 140 definitely can be a home for him. And I mean, with that, in ESPN's pound for pound rankings, Devin Haney now is ranked up. He moved up one slot, previously ranked number 7. Now he's ranked number 6. And with that, Gervonta Davis also is ranked number 8 now, previously ranked number 9. Ooh. And Shakur Stevenson went down one ranking from number 8. Now he's ranked number 9.
Let's go.
One last thing I did want to ask you guys is, do we still want to see the Shakur Stevenson fight versus Devin Haney? I know so many people were in anticipation of that bout, if it was going to happen, when it was going to happen. It never came to fruition. But I don't know if people really even want to see that fight anymore with how dominant Devin Haney has been at 140, at least so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same as what I said last week. I would much rather see him fight someone as, you know, like Teofimo Lopez or even someone like Tank. But onto Shakur, that I just feel like needs to be done just for, you know, my selfish reasons. Like, I hate Shakur. And although I think Devin Haney would easily wash Shakur, I think that especially after this fight we've seen, I also would much rather see Devin Haney fight someone who's more of a challenge. But with all the beef in the past, and with there still being people out there that have this notion that Shakur could handle Devin Haney, I just want it to happen just to shut it down. Like, let's just get this over with, shut it up. I hate how that still lingers, you know, that they never fought. Like, who would win? Are they ever gonna fight? Like, let's just end it. Let's just get it over with. Devin, just beat him up real quick, and then we move on to bigger and better.
Wow, that is quite the statement, especially considering that Stevenson believes that he can win that fight. And honestly, I think that is a close fight. But Mahdi, what do you gotta say?
I have to agree with you, Andrew. I actually think this is a close fight. What impresses me more about Shakur is he's cerebral, and he's a very, very smart. He's a student of the game. I don't know if you guys ever watched Shakur talk boxing, but he's as smart as they come. He makes great adjustments. Again, this last fight was not good, but it's the same thing I said about Devin Haney, who also previously from this fight also had a bad fight. It was more so unentertaining, got the job done, but didn't really put the stars in the fans' eyes. Devin Haney and Shakur Stevenson is going to happen. It needs to happen. And it's a much closer fight than I think maybe Riley anticipates. I know she's a Haney guy, but Shakur's no joke. I mean, he's smart. He's technical.
Really? Come on, guys. This is crazy.
He's really good fighter.
I know we're not trying to go down this rabbit hole. We have so much to talk about in so little time, but I was just like, that last fight, you really could say that about Shakur? Like, after watching that, like, you think
it would be close? I said it about Devin Haney, the last fight against Lomachenko. You got to win those fights convincingly. Didn't. Came back, beat Progress. So,
but, like, what is it about Shakur? Oh, God, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole. I'm so sorry. But what is it about Shakur that you think, like, would win, get, you know, make him in the same category as Devin?
Shakur, I don't, I just like his fight. I don't know. I just like his.
Riley, I think the stylistic matchup is very, very interesting. For both very like cerebral, defensively minded guys that rely on counterpunching and kind of winning rounds over by more so rather than not necessarily putting more output there in each round, but just being more efficient in each round. I think they're very stylistically similar, and I think that kind of creates a war of styles. And I think off the back of that, me and Madi find that interesting.
I agree. They are stylistically similar, and I would find it interesting. But one's way stylistically better than the other. That's the only thing. And then lastly, just, you know, before we do move forward, where would you see this? At 140 or at 135? Like, what would we do here?
I would probably say 135. If I remember correctly, I think Shakur fights naturally at 135. And also that could set up the possibility of Devin Haney or Shakur Stevenson, whoever wins that potential matchup, fighting Gervonta Davis, which I think is a very exciting prospect. Mm-hmm. And kind of like maybe like a big money fight and kind of a reward for either one of Devin Haney and Shakur Stevenson signing on as kind of stakes.
Did you see they went back and forth on Twitter today, Tank and Devin Haney?
Yeah, I was actually going to highlight one of those quotes before we kind of wrap up this boxing segment. Gervonta Davis said, "I promise you that your father is going to cry for what I'm going to do to you, and that's on my dead homie. You best bet it is to enjoy it while you can." Yeah, he said your best bet is to enjoy it while you can, to finish up that quote. It's ridiculous.
I think that Tank, honestly, you know, just based off the rankings, it would make more sense for Devin and Tank to fight than Devin and Shakur. And either way, it's like, Devin responded. He said, "Let's make it happen. I'm free." And I don't see Tank responding.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I'm glad he didn't wilt to that kind of call out, but I think that is definitely a more entertaining fight. It'll definitely sell more pay-per-views. But I think Shakur Stevenson, based on what he does in his next fight, I think he's still definitely waiting in the wings, and just something that will always kind of be a caveat to Haney's kind of career until he beats him, if that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things, like even in football, right? You have two quarterbacks that are drafted consecutively, like Cam Newton and Andrew Luck. I feel like those two, they've been, because when the initial pound for pound rankings came out, I believe they were 8 and 9 originally. I may be wrong, or 7 and 6. They were like 1 and 2. They were like right next to each other. I mean, those two are going to, their names are going to be tied together for like boxing history. The fight's going to happen. It has to happen. And it's going to be fun when it does come.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we've seen time and time again in boxing, you know, boxers' names being tied together. If you want to go back to Hagler versus Hearns, or Sugar Ray Leonard versus, you know, some of the guys that he fought, you know, it's definitely creates storylines. And while the fights don't necessarily happen, you know, the next day, the next month, the next year, hopefully at least we'll see in Devin Haney's case that, you know, he will fight Shakur Stevenson at one point in time. But I do want to close a chapter on this boxing segment so that we can move on to what I am very, very hyped for this weekend. I know that we all got finals going on. It's a very stressful time. But despite that, I will make time on my Saturday night to watch UFC 296. I'm very, very excited. It's going down at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, headlined by two title fights, Leon Edwards and Alexandre Pantoja, both heading into their first defense of their belts. Guys, I'm so, so excited for this fight. We got some big names. I mean, just looking at like the prelims, when you have Josh Emmett versus Bryce Mitchell as your featured prelim, and that's not even on the main card, you know you're in store for a good UFC fight night or UFC pay-per-view card. But yeah, I'm super excited for this one, guys. I just want to hop right into this main card and talk about this first fight, which is a fight that, you know, I'm very, very optimistic about, but also very cautious, and that is Tony Ferguson versus Paddy Pimblett. Tony Ferguson obviously has been on a huge skid in his UFC career. I believe he has, what, like 5 losses string together in a row. It's crazy. The most recent one coming to Bobby Green via submission. And on the other side of the octagon, he's fighting a tough guy in Paddy Pimblett, who's been really hyped up and has some really good submission offense, you know, some all right striking. But guys, I just want to ask you, I mean, if Tony Ferguson loses this fight, is his UFC career over at this point? I mean, do you think he just gets instantaneously cut? What do you think happens?
I mean, we said that last time. We were talking about this fight against Bobby Green. We said if he loses to Bobby Green, who had a 3-fight win streak of his own after, and he just recently lost to, I forget the kid's name, Jalen. Jalen Turner in a very, very bad fight that should have been stopped. But we said this last time. We said if Bobby Green beats Tony Ferguson, El Kukui is no more. And this is the guy that we all love, who in the lightweight division probably should have been champ at one point. I think it's over. I think it's finally over. We always point back to his last win, which was back in 2019. I think that was against Cowboy, if I'm not mistaken, all the way back in 2019. Then he loses to Dariush and Gaethje and Oliveira and I forget, Chandler and Nate Diaz is in the mix. And Bobby Green, of course. I mean, how much can the UFC take? I mean, it's like time after time after time. And he's a name. Everybody loves Tony Ferguson, and obviously he's a character, and he was at his peak a very, very good fighter, one of the best in the lightweight division, probably ever, one of those lost mythical guys. But a 5-6-fight, 7-fight losing streak at a certain point, at the age of 39, at a certain point, there has to be a no more.
Riley, go for it.
No, my bad, but I think it's really simple for me. I can't say it better than Motti did. It's over. It has to be over. I think if he loses this, it's very much so over. And I think if he wins this, he should still make it over and go out on at least one win, because I feel that even if he wins this, it's going to go back to losing. And it's really sad to see someone like Tony Ferguson go out this way. To end your career or to come to the end of your legacy with this losing streak, and it's almost tainted his legacy. I mean, it has tainted his legacy. So I think either way, he just needs to go out, whether it's a loss or a win. It's just the end of Tony Ferguson.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, kind of getting to the point where it should be over for him. But I will say, I think if he gets a win against Paddy Pimblett, considering that Paddy is such a big name and people are so hyped up on seeing what he can do possibly in the UFC, I can see Tony, just especially with his mindset, being like, oh, I'm not hanging it up, that'll be it. I'm going to see what I can do, maybe make another run at the lightweight belt, which I think is completely unrealistic. But like you said, Motti, I mean, it's been 4 years removed since his last win back in 2019 when he beat Donald Cerrone. It almost seems like at this point, they're just kind of carting out this dead horse to get beaten by like up and coming fighters. It's really sad for, you know, someone like me who's a huge fan of Tony Ferguson and kind of what he did back when he was in his prime. I mean, it was so impressive. But that being said, though, I think that Paddy Pimblett has a lot of ways to win this fight. I think that Tony Ferguson's grappling is very, very passive and kind of reliant on like the 10th planet jiu-jitsu system of, you know, working off of your back and stuff like that, which Paddy Pimblett will find a home just holding, you know, guard for rounds on end. And on top of that, I think that their striking matches up pretty well also. I mean, I know people love to hate on Paddy Pimblett's boxing and striking, just saying how terrible it is, which honestly, I believe the same. I think it is really bad. I just don't think Tony Ferguson's striking is at the level it was, you know, like if you look back at his previous fights against RDA, I mean, he looked amazing just cutting him up on the feet. That's completely gone. I mean, you want to go back to Ferguson's, one of his more recent fights against Nate Diaz, he looked like lost on the feet. It was so bad. So I just want you guys' general predictions. Do you think that Ferguson is going to potentially maybe have an upset here, win the fight? Or do you think he's just too far gone?
I want to say it's so hard for me because obviously I like Tony Ferguson too. So I want to say he's going to come out and win this. And I think he really is deserving of this. And I'm not a huge Paddy Pimblett fan at all whatsoever. I just in general have always liked Tony Ferguson and his fighting style a little better, but clearly that's failed him in these last 7 losses. So I'm still going to pull for Tony Ferguson and go against the odds and just hope and pray for the best, but I'm not going to say I'm going to be super shocked if he loses.
Yeah, the ghost of Tony Ferguson passed. It really does have my heart. I mean, it's one of the best ever. You know, we've never got the phantom fight between him or Khabib for interim gold while Conor McGregor was over in boxing. But Tony Ferguson at his peak, you know, you just reminisce on it. You hate to see your heroes fall from grace. Paddy Pimblett, I like facetiously say he's going to be the top of the lightweight division just because we've had so many guys win and be champ. Talk about Leon Edwards and more so like Sugar Sean O'Malley. For the heart's sake, I will pull for Tony Ferguson. Like just one send off where he could just leave him alone. Just one.
Hopefully one. We'll see what happens. I mean, personally, going into this fight, I think it is probably going to be Paddy Pimblett tonight, but who knows? Maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll get, you know, a kind of Ferguson of old. Who knows? I mean, especially since I kind of forgot to mention this, but I don't know if you guys saw on social media his whole thing with David Goggins, where like he survived his hell week and everything like that. So, I mean, it seems like Ferguson is heading into this fight at peak physical condition, which could play a factor. But I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see for Saturday night. But moving on in this main card, the next fight is one that's really, really fun, and I cannot wait for it. It is Shavkat Rakhmonov versus Wonderboy Thompson. And this is going to be a really, really fun striker matchup. I could definitely see Rakhmonov going for some grappling, but either way, if it's on the feet or if it's on the ground, he's extremely dangerous. I believe right now he still holds 100% finish rate for all of his fights inside the UFC and outside the UFC. So whenever he wins, which he's undefeated at 17-0 right now, he finishes the fight. So he's an extremely hyped up fighter, really, really fun. And on the other side of this, Wonderboy is coming off a massive win over Kevin Holland in last December. I believe he finished him in the fourth round. Wonderboy or Holland wasn't able to come out for the fifth round, but all this adds up to a really, really fun stylistic matchup that I'm kind of flip-flopping on who I think is going to win, but I kind of want to hear your guys' takes first. Who do you think is going to come away with the win here?
You know, first and foremost, I got to say, I'm a little shocked by the odds margin. I know it's very much so predicted that, you know, Wonderboy's going to lose this, but to that extent is crazy. I mean, minus 725 to plus 475 is a crazy stat line. I just, first and foremost, like, what do you guys think about that?
It's definitely a little bit disrespectful to Wonderboy, to be quite honest with you, because I guess I'll give my take on this fight right now. Yeah. And why I've been flip-flopping back and forth is that I think that Wonderboy kind of is near the end of his career, you know, lending itself to that, you know, betting line. But also, to that same extent, Shavkat Rakhmonov's last fight was against Jeff Neal, and that was one, a really, really fun fight, honestly one of the fights of the year for last year. But on top of that, though, it was a really, really close fight, led to the third round with Rakhmonov getting a standing rear naked choke to end the fight. But up until then, I mean, it was kind of a toss up if Rakhmonov was going to win the fight in the first place. And Jeff Neal isn't really the most skilled fighter. He's had a big fall from grace over the past couple years. So off the back of that, I don't know if I'm huge on Rakhmonov heading into this fight. So I think that betting line is definitely a little bit more skewed than it should be.
And what I've noticed about Sleeper Wonderboy Thompson, you know, once upon a time, he was one of the better fighters in a middleweight division. He was, I believe he actually fought for the title against Tyron Woodley, UFC 205, he fights for the title. But as he's gotten older, he's kind of found new life as kind of some sort of a gatekeeper, if I'm not wrong. You guys could argue this all you want, but he's kind of like he's fighting middling guys who are looking to get to the top, and he's had some impressive wins. Again, the win against Kevin Holland, he's looked impressive. You know, a 40-year-old guy talking about how he feels like he's 20 again. You know, the light karate stance and the hyper-quick kicks. I mean, he's still got it at 40 years old. He's still finding that magic. And Rakhmonov, I mean, he's a rocket ship. Again, his fight against Jeff Neal, not the most exciting, but I mean, undefeated sub record 8-0. I believe his TKO record is 9-0. I mean, it's interesting. I'm going to go with Rakhmonov here, but Stephen Thompson could make things very, very interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Marty on that one to the fullest, which is scary, a little alarming when we agree. But no, just messing with him, of course. But yeah, I'm going with Rakhmonov, of course. The odds alone, you can't really go against those. He's on a crazy win streak. And I think Stephen Thompson is an impeccable fighter still. I'm not taking that away from him. I think the odds are very ridiculous. I don't think it should be that wide of a margin. But at the end of the day, you have someone like Rakhmonov, who I believe is about, you know, 10 years younger. He's got a better reach. He's got some better takedown averages. He's got some better submission averages. I just think that everything looks right in his favor, and it would just be completely silly for me to bet on Wonderboy.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think that's kind of the sentiment that's going around this entire pod right now, because I kind of agree with you guys. I think that Wonderboy can win this fight. Like I said, Rakhmonov had a really tough time with Jeff Neal, and Wonderboy ended up actually fighting Jeff Neal before Rakhmonov even fought him and pretty much shut out Jeff Neal completely. So off the back of that, I think that Stephen Wonderboy Thompson definitely has, you know, some room to kind of win this fight. But just the takedown capability of Rachmanov alone and the submission threat, I think honestly kind of wins him the fight here. Because I think Wonderboy really needs to fight perfect for 15 minutes, all three rounds, to really win this fight, not get hit with any big punches, make sure he denies all the takedowns. And Rachmanov only really needs to get him in one bad position in one of those rounds, and he could potentially end it, as we, you know, see with his crazy finish record. So I think we're all going for Rachmanov here, but I mean, I'm in part rooting for Wonderboy. I want to see if he could get it done, but we'll just have to see. Moving on, though, I want to talk about this co-main event, which should be very, very fun. It is Alexandre Pantoja heading into his first title defense against Brandon Royval, which is actually a rematch of their first fight, which I believe took place about a year ago. But Alexandre Pantoja is most recently coming off his belt win over Brandon Moreno, which was also another close fight. But guys, I just kind of want to ask you, who do you think is going to win this fight? And do you think it will play out similarly at all to their first meeting back a year ago? All right, I guess everyone's a little hesitant to jump in here. They don't want to give their picks.
No, my bad. I was letting Marty go first this time.
You know what? I'm tough. I'm at a crossroads here, genuinely. I don't know. You guys have to take this one.
God, Marty, what's up with us this week? Like, are we on the same wavelength? That's crazy. I'm going to go Brandon Royval. Royval, sorry. I'm just like, I don't know. You know, I don't like Alexander Pant. it's hard for me too. I never go with those Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys. I'm going to have to go with Brandon here and go against the odds. The odds are a little slim. You know, yeah, sure, Alexander's on like some, a 4-fight win streak, but still, I'm just going to go against the odds. This is a really tough one for me, a really tough one, because I don't like going for those BJJ guys. I don't have a lot of faith in them. You have Brandon, who's also on a 3-fight win streak, but I just have a little bit more faith in him. And, you know, that southpaw, I think, is going to get him the win here.
Yeah, at least for me, the biggest thing that I see in this fight, the biggest storyline, is the stylistic matchup. I think that Alexandre Pantoja, like you said, Riley, is really good with jiu-jitsu, surprisingly good with the striking, has some great conditioning to boot. But on the other side of that, Brandon Royval is one of the most unpredictable, explosive guys at flyweight. I mean, just look at his fight against Kai Kara France, where he threw off that spinning elbow that dropped Kara France and then went for a crazy guillotine choke that he managed to get. It was crazy. And also on top of that, I mean, some of that explosiveness doesn't really work out for him at times. If you want to look at his fight, I believe, it was against Brandon Moreno, where he ended up dislocating his shoulder. Let me just check if that's true. Mm-hmm. It was one of the, it was against Brandon Moreno where he actually ended up dislocating his shoulder, in part due to that explosiveness. But I think the most interesting thing here is just if Brandon Royval will, you know, get an opportunity like that to use some of his explosiveness and some of his unpredictability to throw a wild strike, whether that be a front kick, whether that be a spinning back fist, or kind of an out of nowhere submission to win him the fight. So I think that's kind of the biggest storyline heading into this for me. But Alexandre Pantoja, like you said, Riley, has been really, really good in the past couple of years. His most recent loss was back in 2020 to Askar Askarov. And since then, he has been on a 4-fight win streak, taking out Manel Cape, Brandon Royval in their first fight, Alex Perez, and then obviously Brandon Moreno to claim the belt. So he's looking pretty much in the prime of his career. So I guess to kind of wrap this up quickly before we move on to our main event, final picks, who do you guys got? Personally, for me, I've always kind of been a big Royval guy. I think he kind of rises to the occasion in moments, as we've seen in his past fights, barring any crazy injury. But what do you guys see?
Usually, I'll finally give my pick. Usually when there's a part two or a part three, I always give it to the guy who lost the first fight, because I like Gaethje and Poirier, right? Poirier's not going to beat Gaethje twice in a row. Do I believe Pantoja beats Royval twice in a row? Again, Royval has enough of that special in him to really equalize the score, but Pantoja's too good. I've seen him in too many fights where it go down to the distance and he won. A 4-fight win streak to take the belt off of the champ Brandon Moreno. And even going back to their first fight against Rogal, it was a really good fight, and he got him in a rear naked choke. I'm gonna go with Pantoja here. I'm gonna try to play it safe and stay with the champ.
I want to make it quick and simple because, you know, our time's running a little low. I'm going Royval. Sorry, I keep saying Royval. I don't know why. Royval.
well, if he wins the belt, you know, you'll definitely have to learn that pronunciation. Yeah. Right.
It's a very easy one, too. I just, like, keep doing it, and I catch myself every time, but I don't know what I'm on. But, yeah, I'm going Royval.
We'll see what happens this weekend. We'll see. But it's definitely a very interesting fight and a mix-up from what we've seen in flyweight in recent years, so I'm very happy to see that. But moving on to our main event, which we will break down very quickly, we got Leon Edwards versus the menace Colby Covington. Guys, I mean, there's been so much trash talk going into this fight on what people are just, you know, going back between both fighters. Leon Edwards has been talking a lot of trash, surprisingly, and Colby Covington has been, you know, consistently doing his thing. So do you think that this trash talk will, you know, will play a factor in this fight, like legitimately once the octagon doors close, or do you think that won't matter at all? Do you think Leon Edwards and Colby Covington will just be, you know, totally straight minded?
I'm going Colby Covington. I really am. I know. I see the faces. I know he's the odds are not in his favor.
That's a crazy pick.
It is a crazy pick, but I just think he's on this crazy wave, and I've been watching these press conferences, and yeah, you can't go off the trash talk. Don't get me wrong, because a lot of times people, the ones who talk the most trash are the ones who just wasted their time talking and not doing it in the ring. But this dude is so excited for the potential of Donald Trump putting this belt on him. I think he's going to go like bonkers in here and go full on nuts because he loves that man so much and he just wants him to get the belt. Like, I literally think that is the driving force behind why he's going to do good. And that is the craziest reason, but he's a crazy person. He's a psycho. And I just think that when psychos are fueled by something psycho in the back of their mind, they're going to go out and win it. So who would have thought that my, you know, pick line would be based off of the ex-president being in the audience as opposed to just actual fighting statistics, but that's what it is for me. I'm going Colby Covington.
And Riley, I think that's the best point that you could have possibly made, because it takes a certain type of person to even step in the octagon. You got to be a little bit crazy to be a UFC fighter, mm-hmm. and you got to be crazier to be Colby Covington. I mean, people wonder whether or not he deserves a title shot. Really, 16-3 record, hasn't really done much, hasn't really beaten everybody, still riding off the coattails of losing essentially to Kamaru Usman. Colby Covington, a good fighter. I mean, he's a very impressive all-American wrestler, and his stand-up, I mean, it doesn't get enough credit. He could stand up and he could bang. I have to give it to Leon Edwards. The trash talk, the theatrics, I really think that Leon Edwards, for the first couple of years of his career, has been disrespected, like, not as a guy who could be champion. He beat Kamaru Usman, and he beat him the first time. Oh, it was a lucky head kick. Came around the second time, beat him again, and beat him soundly. I truly believe this is Leon Edwards' era. I just think he's stepping into his own as a superstar and as a champ. And Colby always has a chance because he's Colby Chaos Covington, but I don't think that's the guy to derail the Leon Edwards train as of right now.
Yeah, I could not agree more, Mahdi. I think that you are speaking a lot of truth here, honestly. I think that Leon Edwards is really coming into his own as a champion. I think a lot of people have really kind of underestimated up until this point. And to be honest, I probably would head into this fight picking Colby Covington if Leon Edwards didn't have his two fights, or I guess emphatic trilogy, against Kamaru Usman, where he seemed as dominant as he was, first with that head kick winning, and then second really dominating Usman to win the belt the second time and defend it. So I think that Leon Edwards just poses a lot of problems for Colby Covington, whether that be his excellent kicks, his excellent clinch striking, which his elbows are insane, a real Muay Thai specialist when it comes to clinch, and also on the ground too. We've seen in his fights against Kamaru Usman, Leon Edwards is really, really good on the ground, like surprisingly good on the ground and able to get up out of bad situations while also, you know, kind of controlling some dominant wrestlers like a Kamaru Usman and possibly a Colby Covington. So I think that Colby Covington coming into this fight has a lot of things that he needs to solve to kind of even stand a chance against Leon Edwards. And I think instead of doing that, he's been spending his time on trash talking instead. So that's genuinely my take. We'll see how it pans out. I'm very, very excited. But to go around very quickly, one last round table. I got Leon Edwards, Mahdi.
Edwards.
Riley. Got you. And we will see what happens. But I think that just about wraps up this episode of Pound for Pound. Make sure to watch UFC 296 this weekend and our recap episode next week, breaking down all the results. Before I go, I want to give a huge thanks to my fantastic A huge thanks to my fantastic co-hosts, Mahdi Dembele, Riley Lucas, as well as our producer for this week, Caleb Stein. I've been Andrew Canary, and Pound for Pound is a production of WFUV Sports.